Blog Talk Radio.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong. It's bringing mercy. It won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Cross in the Desert. We're speaking hope together for freedom in Iran, and it's so good to join you this Monday morning, the start of the first real week of November. I'm your host, Randy O'Noble. Glad that you joined me. Thank you, Mary, coming to me in the chat room. Thank you, Sarah, my guests in the chat room. I always welcome my guests in the chat room, try to keep up with them as I'm doing work here behind the scenes, but so glad everyone took time out of their busy schedule to join me today. This is the short version today of the Cross in the Desert because this Friday I have a major program. My good Iranian-Canadian activist friend, Shabnam Assadollah, is going to be here Friday. I'm going to talk to her about the unjust, cruel murder of Rehana Jabari. She was recently in a meeting with the UN Rapporteur for Human Rights on Iran, and that name is Ahmad Shahid, and she talked with him in a panel discussion. We're going to talk about Rehana and the upcoming P5 plus one meetings and why it is so dangerous for us to sit down with Iran, the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. We're going to talk about lots of things. This Friday, it's different from Thursday. Shabnam's a very busy lady. I worked it in so we could do the program this Friday. Usually it's on Thursday, but if you will just accommodate me for one day this week, we'll have this special program this Friday with my activist friend from Canada, Shabnam Assadollah. You definitely want to be here for that program. I want to keep you up to date with other things that are happening and the situation with Saeed Abedini's mother. Just recently, the magistrate was just so cruel to her as she went to see Saeed and basically told her that, you know, Saeed will be here forever because he witnesses for Jesus in the prison, and they're going to continue to double his sentence. After that, the Iranian government basically threatened Saeed's mother, saying either you leave Iran or you're going to be arrested. So Saeed's mother, under so much pressure, has left Iran, and she is joining some of her other family members in another country, and she will be coming here to the States in just about a month to join her dear husband here with Nagma. I just really ask you to pray for her. Nagma wrote on her status, "Thank you all for praying for Saeed's mom. She is safely out of Iran and will be spending the next month with two of her children who are refugees in a nearby country before heading to the United States. She is doing better, but is heartbroken to leaving Saeed behind." So you can understand that because Saeed's mother always went to visit and gave us updates. And now with her husband here in the States, we won't get updates very often. So please pray for Saeed's mother. This is really a difficult time for her having to leave Iran. Also want to update you on Ganache Ghavami. You remember her back in June. She's an British-Iranian dual citizen. She came to Iran and went to a men's volleyball game and was arrested later and was put in Evin prison and in solitary confinement, and now she's had her trial. And the judge has decided in Ganache's case to imprison her. Her sentence is for 1 year. And you have to fathom this. It's so difficult to wrap around your mind. This lovely British-Iranian dual citizen went to this game because she thought there was some kind of consideration because of the World Cup that it was okay for women to go because they had some kind of talk. She misunderstood that. She went to the game, was later arrested, and now because of this, she is going to spend 1 year in prison. That's her sentence for attending a men's volleyball game. It's just absolutely unthinkable and ridiculous. Please keep Ganache in your prayers, because 1 year in Evan prison is literally hell, and my heart goes out to her. Well, it's been over a week since Rahana was executed, a very, very painful, dark day for all of us as human rights activists who worked so hard to save her. Sholi Pakravan has been posting some amazing pictures of Rahana's graveside, the flowers, the pictures. But just this past weekend, I saw a picture of Sholi, who was kneeling in front of Rahana's grave and lighting a candle. And I just broke down because this lady has suffered so much. And I don't have this absolutely confirmed, but one of my Iranian friends on Viber told me, she's a friend of Sholi, that she had just talked to her and she was very sick and was in the hospital. So please pray for Sholi. When I saw her kneeling by Rahana's grave, I thought of the beautiful Bible passage, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 34, verse 18. And I posted this beautiful verse next to Sholi as she's kneeling by Rahana's grave. Do you know, a few minutes before Rahana's execution, the Iranian regime's intelligence services filmed Rahana, forced her to lie and say on camera that Murtaza Sarbandi did not attempt to rape her. They asked her to say that she brought the knife to kill Sarbandi and the apartment's door was unlocked and she easily escaped. And Rahana affirmatively replied, "I can't and I won't lie." They tried to get her to recant her testimony, but Rahana, courageous, brave, refused to give in to them. You see, Rahana put the Iranian intelligence regime in a difficult situation. She said, "Your man, a former agent, tried to rape me. That's embarrassing. That's against the family reputation. Why do you think they took Rahana's life? Why do you think they murdered her? Because she named a former intelligence agent as a rapist. That's embarrassing to the Iranian regime." But she refused to the very end to recant and lie for them, but they tried. I want to tell you something very precious. This Wednesday, November 5th, Rahana would have been 27 years of age. Some special administrators on her page, "We Are Rahana Jabari," wrote this about her upcoming birthday. It's a special event for all of us. They said, "This day will be about Rahana only and not her murderers. November 5th is our angel Rahana's birthday. Please light a candle on this day and remember martyr Rahana Jabari, the symbol of courage and freedom among the women in Iran." And it's just a beautiful day for Rahana. Rahana wrote in her 10th letter, she has prison letters, which I'm going to read a little bit later. She wrote, "I celebrated my birthday from my anxiety. I turned 21 on November 5th, 2008. It was the second year that my mom was celebrating my birthday alone, without me. My grandparents and aunt had gotten permission from the Evan court to visit me. The eight of us had a quiet celebration. I had made a cake, and in lieu of gifts, they had all deposited money in my prison account. But my dad bought me a pendant with a picture of a scale, which he slipped into my hand. He mentioned the scale was a metaphor for hope." That was 6 years ago. This year, Rahana will be free on her birthday at home with God. And that celebration pales in comparison. It's an amazing celebration compared to the suffering and the injustice she went through. So on November 5th, we will celebrate Rahana, her bravery, her patience, her livelihood, her youth, her independence, her intelligence, her beauty, her kindness, and her hope for justice. Join us and light a candle wherever you are and post it with the hashtag Happy Birthday Rahana. Rahana will live in our hearts, in our children's hearts, forever. This Wednesday, November 5th, a special day for our dear Rahana. I want to play for you this incredible live interview between Lisa Daftari and Sholi Pakravan just 48 hours after Rahana's execution. I played this once before, but this is such a powerful interview. I want you to hear it right now on The Cross in the Desert.
The Iranian government executed 26-year-old Rehana Jabari over the weekend. Rehana was hanged for what authorities call premeditated murder, but what she and her family maintained was self-defense against the man who allegedly tried to rape her. After already serving 7 years in prison, her case garnered much international outcry, many believing there was foul play. Fox News did an exclusive interview with Sholi Pakravan, Rehana's mother, just a few weeks ago, who urged her daughter's supporters to speak out in an attempt to save her life. She now joins us only 48 hours after her daughter's execution. What was the last conversation you had with your daughter? What was her state of mind?
I went to see Rehana on Friday. It was with my husband, my other daughters, my parents, and my sister. Rehana comforted us, but she knew this was the end. She said there has been increased crackdowns and pressure on all the prisoners. She told us not to mourn her, not to be upset. It's so difficult, but I'm really trying to hold it together and to honor my daughter's wishes.
Had authorities given your daughter any warning? What had they told her?
They told her she had to go in front of his family to be pardoned and forgiven by them. They told her she had to confess that there was no intention of rape, and then maybe they would excuse you from execution. Then they brought in cameras into the room where sentences are carried out, and they kept pressuring her to confess that Zarbandi was not trying to rape her, and Rehana refused.
And you also went to the family to ask them to forgive your daughter, right?
We went to their family many times, begging them to forgive Rehana, but they didn't accept. But unfortunately, the day her execution was carried out, there were so many corrupt people there that they helped the Zarbandi family exit through a back door. Others tried to stop them, to ask them to forgive Rehana, to ask them to drop the charges, but they did it in a way so that we did not run into the family. We didn't have a chance to see them again.
As difficult as it is, take us through the day of the execution, how you were notified, how the family was told that your daughter was killed.
On Friday, when we saw Rehana for the last time, they never told us which prison she would be taken to. We spent the entire night going from one prison to the next, till morning. We were shivering in the cold, both from the cold and from our nervousness. But I tell you, we still had hope. We had hope that Zarbandi's son, Jalal, would finally admit the truth and to pardon my daughter, or at least we were hoping the sentence would be postponed again. It was 7 a.m., and I was sitting in the car because I was so cold. And two of the women came to the car, and as they opened the door, they were crying. In that moment, my entire brain froze. I became paralyzed. Moments later, I just began screaming. I couldn't believe it. They killed my Rehana.
What did the authorities say to you at that point? point, did they say anything to you or the family?
Absolutely nothing.
Rehana had so many supporters and advocates around the world. What's your message to those people?
I need your help. I am asking all the countries in the world who defend human rights and women's rights to investigate Rehana's case in international court. Maybe other courts can prove my daughter's innocence. The government's message to the women of Iran was that you cannot defend yourself in the face of rape or violence, or else you'll be executed.
Now I want to talk about the funeral. Were the proper dignities given to your daughter? Were you allowed to bury her in the way that you wanted?
In Iran, we have a custom of preparing the body in a certain way before the funeral. They had secretly done all of this without us. There was heavy security presence there. My husband and I, the rest of the family, we were told by security that we weren't allowed to touch or to get too close. They wanted to carry out the entire burial without us. We pushed our way to the front and begged them to allow us to participate in my daughter's burial. Of course, they didn't listen, and even the burial, our last chance to say goodbye, wasn't in our own hands. Right now in Iran, all of the media is reporting that this man did not intend to rape Rehana and that Rehana had every intention to murder him. I have no way of getting through to any courts here in Iran. In the same way that they killed my daughter, they will continue doing this to young people. They brainwash the people of Iran. They corrupt people's minds.
And I know Rehana left behind a very detailed will. How did she want to be remembered?
Today I cried so much. I was looking at pictures of Rehana. There is such a deep, deep pain in my heart. My beautiful daughter, she was beautiful in every way, a beautiful face, a kind heart. They killed her. What more can I say? She also told me that she believes in an afterlife. She told me not to worry, because in the next world, she would seek justice for the injustice she endured. From the judge, from the officials, from Sarbandi himself, those who tortured me in prison and did not spare me from my pain. My daughter forgave everyone that did this to her. She reminded me to forgive so you can grow, so that your heart can be at peace. Rehana had already forgiven all those who had tortured her. She said she would try to prove her innocence to them in the world to come, but in this lifetime, she had already forgiven them.
I thank you for speaking with us so shortly after receiving this awful news, and I wish you and your family comfort at this difficult time. Thank you for joining us.
That's Lisa Daftari from Fox News with Sholi Pakravan. I listened to this interview, and I just can't hold back the emotion because this wonderful mother of Rehana is so strong at a time when things are so dark and difficult. And I had reports that she's in the hospital. I cannot completely confirm them, but please keep Sholi in your prayers. Rehana was an amazingly strong, courageous young girl who spent most of her adult life in a horrible prison under a cruel regime. And what I want to do in the remaining minutes here, I want to quote from one of her prison letters. There is a total of 20 of them. Right now, I only have access to 10. And I just want to do something very special for this courageous martyr who suffered so unjustly. I want to quote to you from prison letter number 5. Rehana is describing now kind of a normal day in Evan prison. And she's speaking about sleeping, and I want you to hear what she says. I absorbed sleep every single cell in my body. And as I was fed up with being forced to repeat the same endless confessions, I practiced remaining silent when I slept. It had been a while since I was interrogated by Shamlou. Instead, two men with shaved heads, like soldiers, began interrogating me, or as it is more elegantly called, questioning me. One was fat and had a belly, and the other was slim and tall. They both had a stubble, but the slim one's mustache was longer than his beard. Many times they said that they had arrested my family and sent them each to a different prison. And in my heart, I cursed myself for ruining my family and sent family's peace and quiet by making acquaintance with Sarbandi and Shekai. I imagine them in a similar situation as me, belittled and weak like a chick, a term used by the aggressive interrogators. They tie your hands and feet. Then, like a piece of clothing, they hung you up on a rod and beat you in the stomach with their knees. They don't care about where in the stomach they hit you. You must be smart, and despite pain, try not to curl up in a ball, because if you bring your head down for a moment, the knee strike will connect with your eye or your nose or your mouth, and the blood will gush out, and your face will fracture, and you will suffer from an endless pain. I was aware of this, and I protected my face from the knee strikes. The interrogator is a man and can never comprehend that during the monthly cycles, women feel numb and ache. They are lethargic and they easily take offense. The mere task of getting up and answering questions is agony. The male interrogator does not know what it means to strike a woman in her breast with a knee during her monthly cycle. I do not know why women give birth to boys. They do not tell their sons how they feel so that their little son grows up and becomes an interrogator. He would know how to strike a knee in an accursed person's stomach. An accursed who turns out to be a woman and happens to be spending the most difficult days of her life. I was terribly fooled during one of my interrogating sessions. We have taken your mother from the detention center to Evan Prison, and we will interrogate her there. The following 2 days, I was left alone in my cell. They did not question me for 2 days, and I, unaware of their devious plot, developed obsessive compulsive disorder, which completely ruined me only a few days later. The prolonged hours in solitary confinement without an adjustable brightness, they torture you with the perpetual glow of the fluorescent light, which is kept on 24/7. The fluorescent light irritates your soul. It is your enemy, and you don't know what to do in order to change the situation. Whenever you want to think, you get distracted by the fluorescent light and you lose focus. Fragmented and disjointed thoughts destroy your sanity. You cannot focus on anything. If you want to eat or shower, you cannot open the water tap first, wash your head, and then rinse and finish. When you lack intellectual coherency, you may leave the water running and get out of the shower without rinsing. And Rehana goes on to describe just this daily routine of interrogation, torture, and just the psychological trauma of being inside this prison cell. None of us can ever comprehend what this is like. I can read this, and I try to visualize her being hung up like a piece of clothing and them taking their knees. This sounds like what happened to Saeed and why he still suffers from internal bleeding. And I cannot imagine the cruelty, especially during a woman's monthly cycle, as Rehana describes. But she has left us 20 letters. And by the grace of God, I'm going to print them all and at least on every program read to you for Rahana. Her voice still speaks. And I hope by doing this somehow, you and I will get an understanding of what life was like for 7 years. 7 long years she has spent in prison. And this will give us some kind of an understanding of what other political prisoners are going through. These letters are so valuable, and I have them very well protected. I haven't read any of them except one and letter number 5. And in letter number 1, Rahana says, perhaps someone will hear my voice and feel my pain. That was her wish, that someone in the world would hear her voice and feel her pain. And I think that all of us that listen to this program, we're answering her prayer request, her request while she was in prison. We're able to hear her voice through these letters and feel her pain in so many ways. And yet this Wednesday, our attention is not on the murderers and not on this evil regime, but our attention is going to be on Rahana's birthday. So please, come to my page. You'll see the advertisement from the We Are Rahana International page this Wednesday, November 5th. Please light a candle. Put it next to a picture of Rahana. I have a picture of her when she's young and blowing out the candles on her cake. But do whatever you want to do. And go up on Twitter with the hashtag, Happy Birthday Rahana. She would have been 27 years old this Wednesday. But as I've said to you many, many times again, she is free, at home, in the precious, safe arms of Jesus. This birthday is a birthday she can never forget. It is the beginning of an eternal experience with our great God. And there's a party going on in heaven. We can't even imagine that. But it's a birthday that Rahana can never forget. Those 7 years of gruesome times in prison on her birthday, this birthday, I say, is very, very, very special for our dear Rahana. Please join me on this Friday. Shabnam Sadali, she is an Iranian-Canadian human rights advocate. She's on Facebook. She keeps us up to date with everything, especially the happenings in Iran. And she'll be my special guest this Friday at 9:30. And we are going to talk about the murder of Rahana. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Shabnam is a very busy lady in Canada. She's going to have lots of interesting things to share with us. I want to say to you, my Facebook friends, Mary in the chat room, and I think it's Sarah as well, thank you so much. God bless you for joining me on this special edition of The Cross in the Desert. Just don't forget, it's going to be this Friday instead of Thursday. So please join me then. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy life to join me as together we speak hope and freedom to Iran. God bless you. See you on Friday.
Healing rain.